You're listening to the Cornerstone Word of Life Church podcast. We hope you enjoy this teaching from Pastor Mark. For more information on our church, please visit cwol.org.
Hallelujah. Well, everybody say Waymaker. Guess what I'm preaching on, right? Waymaker. Hallelujah. Turn with me to Isaiah. I really saw myself preaching this, but I don't know if I preached it out already in myself, but we'll get out with what the Lord wants. Hallelujah. Everybody shout, Waymaker. Way. He is a Waymaker, isn't he?
Yes.
Is he making a way?
Yes.
Some of you may not understand, like, the healing anointing. A lot of times, this is funny. As the when I was sitting there thinking, well, you know, the crowd's kind of light tonight, Lord, and when I lay hands on everybody, I'm just going to take my time. I'm going to just stay there and minister to people. And the next thing you know, I'm running down the row. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What is that? Well, it's just the anointing. And I've learned to flow with it. Sometimes it's just quick. It just is what it is. And you just have to learn to follow that and go with it. So everybody shout one more time, Waymaker. So in Isaiah, are you all at Isaiah? Isaiah chapter number 43, we look at this scripture of the Lord being a waymaker. There's three things here I want to get at. Number one, God is a waymaker. And so the people in the beginning of this chapter, there's an issue, there's a problem. So Isaiah 43:1. But now thus says the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not. For I have redeemed thee, I have called thee by name, thou art mine. Isn't that good news? When you pass through the waters, I will be with thee. When you go through the rivers, they will not overflow thee. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. And so that's all good news, but that means we're going through some water. That means we're going through some fire. And even though this is Isaiah prophesying, I believe it's true with everybody in this room. You know, I was reminded at the beginning of this year when the Lord spoke through me and he began to talk to me. He said there's an effectual door, but the scripture says there are many adversaries. So we're not going to concentrate on the adversaries because we've already walked through that door, because every adversary you and I meet is a defeated foe. Amen. Anything that rises up against us, we condemn it in the name of Jesus. And so even though there's adversaries, so he's saying, yes, I'm your God. I have redeemed you. How many are you grateful he's your redeemer?
Yes.
He's redeemed you from something to something. So in other words, he's redeemed you from sickness and disease to health. He's redeemed you from eternal death to spiritual life. He's redeemed you from poverty unto prosperity. He's redeemed you from confusion unto peace. He's redeemed you from having a horrible marriage unto having heaven on earth in your marriage. Amen. He has redeemed you. Everybody shout, I'm redeemed. But who is the Redeemer? His name is Jesus. And so he's telling us we're going to have to go through some fires. We're going to have to go through some water sometime. And he's letting us know that. Not that we already didn't know, but he starts out with that. And then in verse 11, he begins to tell you who he is. He tells you what you may go through, but then he says, this is who I am. I, even I, am the Lord. And besides me, there's no Savior. Have I declared and have I saved and have I showed? When there was no strange God among you, when there was no strange God among you, therefore you are my witness, says the Lord, that I am God. Everybody shout, he is God.
He is God.
Yea, before the day was, I am he. I just like that. Now he's getting a little sassy. I like that one place where he said, there is no other God, I know not one.
Yeah.
And he's your God. Amen. And yea, before the day was, I am he, and there is none that can deliver out of my hand. I will work, and who shall let it? Thus says the Lord, your Redeemer. So once again, he's letting you know I'm going to redeem you. All right, so the first thing is, the people, we're going to have a problem. You're going to have to go through some water, and it may look like it's overflowing on you. You're going to have to walk through the fire, and it may look like you're going to get burned. It may look like you're not coming out. But the Lord wants you to assure you that he's your Redeemer, and there is no God besides him. There is no other. Before the day even started, he knew what was going on, and he is your God. And he's your deliverer, and he's your way maker. Because look at this in verse 16. He tells you what he's about to do about it all. Thus says the Lord, which makes a way in the sea and a path in the mighty waters. which bring forth the chariot and the horse and the army and the power that they lie down together. There shall not rise. They are extinct. They are quenched as a tow. Remember you not the former things. I want to stop here. Remember you not the former things. Consider not the things of old. I want you to forget about what happened yesterday. I want you to forget about how tough it's been. I want you to forget about the struggle of it all. Because if you're going to receive everything that God has for you today, tonight, you're going to have to forget about it. Turn to your neighbor and say, forget about it. Forget about it. You're going to have to forget about it. Isn't that what Jesus said? He said for you to forget about. The Apostle Paul said forgetting those things that lie behind. Forgetting those things that lie behind. Sometimes, even when you think about the good things or the good old days, it keeps you stuck in a place. You got to live in the right now. Because faith is the right now. And so you've got to let it go. You got to forget about it. He said this again. He said, remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Yeah. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will make a way. I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. I will make a way. Come on, call him Waymaker. Way. He'll make a way in the wilderness, rivers in the desert. So even when you can't see a way, he's going to make a way. Even when you can't feel that he's doing anything, he's working. He's making a way. Even when I love that part. Even when you can't see it, he's working. Even when you don't feel it, he's working. He promised you that he would make a way. Amen. There is no sickness, no disease that's too hard. There is no marriage difficulties that are too hard. There is no financial problem that is too hard. There is no confusion that is too big. There is nothing that you can encounter that God has not made a way out. He is your way maker, but you've got to do some things. You've got to forget the former things. You've got to forget yesterday's failures. You've got to forget where you were yesterday. You got to be in the moment. You got to be in the right now, because faith is now. You got to let it go. You got to let it go. You got to let it go. I don't care how many times you tried to have a baby and couldn't. You got to let that go, because God is one who makes life happen. He is a way maker. Even if a doctor says anything is impossible, nothing is impossible with God. Like Mary said, there will be a performance. Hallelujah. There's going to be a performance. There's going to be a performance. It was prophesied. There'll be a performance of the word that was spoken to you. Come on. God said it. He'll do it. He's not a man that he should lie. Come on. You got to understand where it looks impossible, when it looks like there's no way out, when you can't figure it out. Come on. I'm a good figurer. My wife's even a better one. I mean, you can plot some things. You can plan some things. You can try to help God out. Am I the only one that's ever tried to do that? Lord, if you would do this, this, and this, it'd be fixed. But you're not the boss of him. He's the boss of you. And he knows things about a situation that you don't know. A lot of times, especially with that, with people and problems, we're like, Lord, if you just, you know, slap them upside the head and I know, you know, spin their head around a couple times. But how many know God knows what he's doing? He does. Everybody call him Waymaker. Amen. He is a Waymaker, and he can make a way. I was thinking of that in conjunction with, turn with me to 2 Samuel chapter 5. 2 Samuel chapter 5. Here David was. He was anointed to be king. He wasn't king, but he was anointed to be king. One of the things you'll have to understand when God has to come in is because the devil comes after people and groups and churches and individuals who know how to work with God. He doesn't usually mess too much with those that are doing nothing. He doesn't mess with those too much who don't know what God has provided. He don't mess with those that are going the same direction as he's going. So you notice here in 2 Samuel 5, we'll look at verse 17. But when the Philistines heard, the Philistines always represent the enemy. When the Philistines heard that they had anointed, everybody say anointed. Ooh, David, king over Israel. All the Philistines came up to seek David. How many of them? Wow. And David heard of it and went down to the hold. Now, the hold, I guess, is a getaway. It's a cave. It's a hiding place. The Philistines also came and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim, and David inquired of the Lord while he was in the hold, saying, "Shall I go up to the Philistines?" He didn't go just to run away. He went to get quiet. "Shall I go up to the Philistines? Will you deliver them in my hand?" And the Lord said unto David, "Go up, for I will doubtless deliver the Philistines in your hand." And then David came to Baal-perazim, and David smote them there and said, "The Lord hath broken forth upon my enemies." The Lord has broken forth on my enemies. The Lord has broken forth on my enemies. The Lord has broken forth on my enemies. The Lord has broken forth on my enemies before me. As the breach of waters. Therefore, he called the name of the place Baal-perazim. Let's look at that in the Amplified Classic. Verse 20, in Amplified with the C. And David came to Baal-perazim, and he smote them there and said, "The Lord has broken through my enemies before me, like the bursting of great waters." So he called the name of that place, Baal-perazim, the Lord of the Breakthrough. Sounds like a waymaker. Yeah. Sounds like a bulldozer. Yeah. I love to pray with people who are bulldozers in prayer. In other words, they know their authority, they know the word, and they know how to get in there and do some business. Yeah. There's all kinds of prayer. There's fellowship prayer, there's praying to build yourself up, but there is a prayer that you can get in there and do some business. You're not praying to God, but you're in the realm of the Spirit, and God's leading you and guiding you, and you're just taking care of business. You're using your authority. And so what I like there, what happened is that there, because God broke forth on the enemy. And so what first thing I want to talk to you about just real quick is, what's the devil after? Some of you feel like, man, I wish he'd just leave me alone. I need a break. I need a break in my mind. I need a break in my body. I just need a break. But listen to me. And once you figure out the devil doesn't give breaks, you're going to have to take your authority. And you're going to have to win. But really, when the devil messes with someone and a group of people over and over again, what he's coming after is, because David wasn't king yet. He wasn't even in the position yet. But they came after because they heard that he was anointed. They heard that he was anointed. A lot of times when the anointing first appears on someone, that, you know, one of the things I'm doing as a pastor is I kind of watch, because I believe I'm an anointing protector. And so I try to help people, and that's one of the things we really like to get them into Bible Institute, because if I can get you built up in the word, I can help you protect your anointing. Because the devil is one of the things he's after the most is your anointing, because he's not really after you. Because you ain't all that. You weren't all that. He wasn't bothering you before you got saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. But what happens is you get some anointing on you. You get the power working in you. Because even this, you know, when Jesus was born, what did the devil immediately try to do? He sent someone. He tried to go and kill him. He was just a baby. Why? Because the Christ, what is the Christ? The anointed one had come. What is the devil after? He's after the anointing. Why is he after the anointing? Because Isaiah 10:27 tells you why. Because it's the anointing that destroys the yoke of bondage. And the word of God is anointed. And so if you're full of the word of God and you're speaking the word of God, the anointing on the word of God coming out of your mouth destroys yokes. Yeah. It destroys yokes, and people all around us in this day and age, they're real bound up. Hallelujah. But it's the word that'll make them free. And when you and I continue in the word, we'll be free indeed. So we got to stay continuing in the word, but now we also have the word to get somebody else free. Now, if you're ever dealing with anything, this is a great place to come to get free, because just sitting under the word itself, because the word is anointed, will set you and keep you free. Because it's the anointing that destroys the yoke of bondage. And don't you know the devil knows that? Because he's encountered the anointing over and over and over again. As a matter of fact, at the beginning beginning of his time, he was a chief participator in the anointing. He was the anointed cherub, the Bible says. And so he knows the anointing, he can smell the anointing, and now he hates the anointing. And I'm telling you, you and I are going to have to get to the place where we understand we're anointed. So guess what happened? After Jesus was filled with the Holy Ghost, Luke chapter 4, what do we immediately see? We see the Holy Ghost led Jesus in the wilderness. Why? Because we're going to have a showdown over the anointing. But the anointed one knew how to cooperate with the anointing by speaking the word of God. Just like the Philistines came after David's anointing, just like the devil came after Jesus' anointing, what I'm telling you is, whether you think you're the most or the least anointed person in this room, the devil doesn't want you to operate or work in any anointing. Because even when you come to church here, you're bringing your supply of the Spirit, which is the anointing. And when we all gather together in one place, what happens? People are getting born again. People are coming back to the Lord. I mean, we saw the anointing here tonight. People are getting healed. People are getting delivered. People are getting saved, filled with the Holy Ghost. Marriages are being restored. Babies is being born. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, we've already had a lot of that. Where it was impossible, God made a way. Number of wonderful testimonies. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, the devil hates the anointing because the anointing destroys the devil's work. Jesus took care of it once and for all. But when you are the carrier of the anointing with the word and the demonstration of the Spirit of God, I'm just telling you, That's why. So don't think it's strange. So here's Jesus in the wilderness, and what's he do? The devil comes at him, and he always answers, and he answers with the word, and he answers with the anointing. In other words, he has a word from the word at the right time. He has a rhema. He has an anointed word against what the devil is doing. You and I have to have an answer from the word of God to answer back whatever the devil's doing. And then after that, you know, you would think the enemy would learn. Because after that, what happened? After that temptation in the wilderness, after the enemy came, what happened in Luke chapter 4, verse number 18? Jesus came out in the power of the Spirit. I'm telling you what, I don't like going through stuff. Do you? If we all be real about this, none of us really like to go through stuff. But in order to have a testimony, you got to have some kind of test. In order to have a victory, you've got to have some kind of war. Yeah. I know you and I are not lined up. You don't have to line up to say, "Oh, I would like a problem." Just living here on the earth, problems come. Yeah. We live in a fallen world, so you have an opportunity to win every day. Yeah. You need to take it. Don't wait till it gets great big. Don't wait till it gets great big. Operate in the anointing. Operate in the presence of God every day, all day long. Yeah. And then when something comes, raises its ugly head, you know, you can go like Pastor Rhonda to the carnival and do the whack-a-moles. Hallelujah. Her favorite one time was these little whack-a-moles. They looked like little demons, and man, she was pounding them. I think she got a high score. Hallelujah. And we walked away. I don't know if we walked away with a stuffed animal on that one, but she was whacking them things. Hallelujah. I mean hard. But you got to do that in the realm of the Spirit. Come on, don't take any mess. As someone who's had a little bit of mess, I can tell you it's sometimes when it's long and when it's hard, your flesh wants to give in. But we are weebles and we won't wobble. We wobble, but we won't fall down. Is that how it goes? Back in the day, that's my childhood days. Was that 20 years ago? And so, don't you laugh? And the truth is, you got to have some tenacity about you. You got to have no quit in you. And you got to understand you're anointed. You're anointed. You're anointed. And after that temptation, Jesus came out in the power of the Spirit. And he said, "The Spirit of the Lord's upon me." Because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, recovery of sight to the blind, to proclaim, skip it down, Jubilee. And he was here in December by the person of the Holy Ghost. And he proclaimed to you not only Jubilee, he proclaimed to you a double. Yes. Why? Because the Spirit, he knew, the Spirit of the Lord would be upon you. The anointing of God would be upon you. And you would get bold with it, and you would speak the word of God under the anointing, and you would lay hands on the, not just me, you would lay hands on the sick, and they would recover. He knew that you would be inviting those that were away from God and bringing them to church, and you also would get them born again. He said to you boldly, even after you passed through that door where there were many adversaries, and they may have been big, bad, and ugly, but we walked through it anyway, hallelujah, and we're still walking in this land. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He anoints. Come on, somebody say, I'm anointed. My cup's running over. My cup's running over. My cup's running over. Even when I don't feel it, it's running. Even when I don't see it, it's running. It never stops. It never stops. Why? Because the anointing's working. 1 John 2:20 and 27 says you have an unction or an anointing from the Holy One. Amen. You have the anointing in you. Thank God for us in the new covenant. We've got the anointing in us and we've got the anointing on us. You are anointed from head to toe, wall to wall. You are a Holy Ghost man and woman of God. You are sanctified. You are set apart. You are redeemed. You are righteous. You are holy, and you are anointed.
Amen.
You are anointed. Amen. What are you anointed to do? You're anointed to destroy the works of the enemy. They've already been destroyed, but you're there to enforce it. You're anointed to be blessed. Come on, you're blessed to be a blessing.
Amen.
You're blessed to be a blessing. Hallelujah. The anointing of God is on your life. But what, when you realize that, though, you got to realize that the devil comes after that. And he's not after you as much as he's after you to sit down, shut up, and give up. Because if he can get that anointing that's in you and on you to quit operating, that's what he wants. And he can detect it because he used to participate in it. And that's why we have to understand what the devil's up to. But what are we going to do? I remember, I tell this story a lot, but I just got out of Bible school, so it was 1990. And I was ordered by headquarters. You know, we're in the army of God, we don't get to choose. I was ordered by headquarters to go back to the cornfields. I sure didn't want to go home. He kind of sideswiped me with that one. I was like in Tulsa, and I felt called to be an itinerant minister, and he had talked to me about that even. But then just suddenly one day, the Lord said, go home. I mean, just in a moment, it was August. I was at camp meeting, ushering for Brother Hagin. I was having the time of my life, and I just knew I had to go home. And suddenly everything, like the next time I went back to work, I realized I had a McDonald's uniform. There's nothing wrong with working at McDonald's. It was awesome. But I kind of like looked at myself and I was like, oh, this doesn't work anymore. In other words, the grace is not here to do this anymore. And I didn't want to live in Tulsa anymore. And the Lord, go home. Oh, man. That's an itty bitty town. I don't want to go back there. Go home. So I go home. The great thing was I got to live with mom and dad for free again. I think that was the third or fourth time I moved back home. And then that kind of feels weird. But I had a hole upstairs. Mom did all the cooking, the cleaning. It was a pretty good gig. And so, you know, they didn't mind. They didn't mind. It wasn't good. I can tell you a little story. I got home and I was used to the life. I mean, it was good. I got home and suddenly I have no more friends. I was lonely. I told the Lord, I'm lonely. One night a little kitty cat comes up outside. I was swinging outside my mom's porch swing, and I was just feeling blue. Lord, I'm lonely. And suddenly a little kitty cat shows up, and my little Cinderella. And so, because I didn't have a Cinderella yet of my own. And I don't know. So that cat gave me comfort. But then the Lord just basically, come on, toughen up, buttercup. It's time. And then, you've heard this part of the story. He asked me to be the youth pastor before the pastor asked me to be the youth pastor. And I was like, I don't think so. I don't think so. And then I kind of because the more I said, I don't think so, and then I don't think I said no, but I might have, then everything fell apart. To obey is better. He's not impressed with your sacrifice. He's impressed with your obedience. Then the devil, man, he came after me. And I had to get to the place, and this is the whole point. I could take you there in my mom and dad's dining room, because that's where I prayed. And I prayed so much I wore a path in the carpet. But they thought that was funny. But I mean, that's how much I had got going on. But I was praying, and I got to the place where I wasn't praying to God anymore. I was talking to the devil. And I said, please leave me alone. I'm just as real as I can be with you. Please leave me alone. Please, just leave me alone. Well, that was like saying sick 'em to a dog. I mean, he turned it up. I told you the story how I would collect moms. And so three of my spiritual mamas that I collected, they called me. Donna, Christine, and two Donnas, one Christine, yeah. They all called me, and I put on my best Christianese. Mark, something's wrong. No, praise the Lord. Glory. Come on, everybody say glory. See, you can fake them. You can fake them out. Glory, hallelujah. And so they hung up the phone thinking they were wrong. But they weren't wrong. I had to apologize to them all later. Of course, they all said, we knew. Come on. All I'm saying is the devil's after your anointing. And he was after mine. What was he trying to do? He was trying to get me to stop before I even got good started. Some of you in this room, whether it's your business, whether it's marriage, whether it's with your children, doesn't matter what it is. If the devil's really ramping up some things, you've got to take a stand and say, okay, I recognize you. I know what you're trying to do. You're not just coming against me. You're coming against my family. You're coming against my children's future. Because see, if you as a mom and dad are all messed up, you're going to mess them up whether you think you will or not. You are not that good. That you can keep it, you know, have all these problems and do whatever you want, and you don't think it'll affect your children. It won't. It's the miracle of God that some of you are in this room today in your right mind. It's because of God. But you don't want your children to go through that, right? So you and I, as parents, we're going to get it together. Everybody say, get it together. I don't know who I'm talking to. That was extra. Hallelujah. But the truth, everybody just smile and nobody will know it's you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But what am I telling you? I'm telling you the enemy came. He came to me before I even got really started good. He tried to talk me out of it because I didn't want to do it that way. But what was he coming after? He was coming after this. Way back there. He was coming after Chile. Way back there. You say, well, Pastor Mark, you're a minister. Good for you. But no. There's somebody you're ordained to reach. There's something you're ordained to do. There's something you've got for God. You're special. You're important. And the devil wants to... You say, well, Pastor, I've really messed my life up. I'm just trying to hang in there till Jesus comes. No! You're going to get back in. Because you're anointed. Come on, say it real bold. Say, I'm anointed. Come on, everybody's got something to do in this room. So how are we going to get there? How are we gonna take that step up? Well, I think David was wise. He went into the hold. Some of you have a closet. Some of you, I have a recliner in my office. That's my hold. Or sometimes I have a deck where I don't want to scare any of my neighbors. Sometimes I look to see who's out there first. where do you have where you can go? Paul, in the middle of a storm, went into the belly of the ship. Well, the storm is raging. He went into the belly of the ship, and the Lord came to him and told him how everything was going to work out. They went to an upper room. They went to an upper room. They locked themselves in. It wasn't just because of orders. They were somewhat afraid. But they went, and they waited on the Lord, 120 of them, and the Holy Ghost fell. After the miracle at the gate called Beautiful, Peter and John had to go back to their own company of believers, and they again locked themselves in and they prayed. I'm telling you, this is a season where we got to kick up the prayer life personal, corporately, amen. We've got to hear what God is saying. We got to receive strategies from heaven, so we got to know how to win. Shall I pursue them? The Lord said, yep. Come on, there's a couple times. Remember at Ziklag, the same thing happened. He told him to go after him and you'll recover all. I'm telling you, there's some strategies you need that, yes, it comes from the word, but also from times of prayer, the word will be illuminated to you or God will just give you personal direction that you need so that you can win. Amen? Everybody say, he's a way maker. He is a way maker. Come on. And when you prayed, then sometimes you just got to do what the Lord says do. Second service got my shama. First service didn't get it. So everybody's going to get it again because I just love him. He's one of my heroes. I'm just telling you, after you prayed or whatever you've done, you just got to be, sometimes just get tired of the devil winning. Come on, he can't win in your life anymore. That's your child. That's your spouse. That's your career. That's your business. That's your call. That's your house. Whatever it is, that God gave it to you. I know Job said the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away, but that's, Job correctly said it, but that's not true of God. If the Lord gave you something and he didn't tell you to give it away, then you're supposed to hold on to it. Yeah. Amen? Well, it's hard. And the devil's mean. But you have a greater one on the inside of you. Amen. And you need to get into a place of prayer. And I need to get into a place of prayer. And we need to get strategies from heaven. And we need to be like Shammah and stand in the middle of our pea patch and defend it against the Philistine, against the enemy. And then the other thing is, I love those four leprous men. Why sit we here until we die? Come on, I want to stir something up. We're about done. I want to stir something in you. I want to stir some boldness in you. I want to stir something up in you. The greater one lives on the inside of you. And when you believe something, there's going to be a corresponding action. Faith, idle. Faith alone, you don't do anything with it. It's dead. And so your faith's going to cause you to do something. Your faith's going to cause you to say something because you're anointed. You're anointed. The woman with the issue of blood, she heard about Jesus. And she said, if I can but touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made healed. I'll be made whole. And guess what she did? She pushed through a crowd. She pushed through a crowd. Many people say she even got so desperate, she began to crawl. She began to work through them. I don't know how that works. I do know this. She wasn't obeying the law. She was supposed to be yelling out, unclean, unclean. But on the inside, she was saying, I'm healed. I'm healed. I'm healed. I'm healed. If I can touch him, I'll be made whole. If I can touch him. Amen. What is that? That's boldness. And that's what faith will do. And when she touched Jesus, what happened? The anointing, the power. Who touched me? Who touched me? The disciples said, everybody's touching you. No, somebody touched me. And I believe that's what we're doing in our church. I believe that's what we did tonight. We touched God. And I believe when you touch him, he touches back. When you touch him, when you touch his heart, he responds back. And I believe some miracles happened tonight. I believe some healings happened tonight. I believe some people are free. And I'm just telling you, I remember, I don't know when I first heard that song, but when I got it, it wasn't on the praise and worship team, but I was like, oh, we're going to have to do that because I was feeling it. I'm feeling the way maker because I need a way made. And he makes a way where there is no way. Yes. Amen. He's the bulldozer. Yes. He's the Lord of the breakthrough. I said he's the God of breakthrough.
We hope you were inspired by today's message. If you want to hear more from the Word of God, head over to cwol.org. Check us out on YouTube or any social platform under @CWallMadison. We believe God is working within you, and we want you to know him so you too can make him known.